Look out! It's your weekly dose of wrestling news and silliness on the North America Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net. And as always, there is graphic language in this podcast.
For over 6 years, and nearly 300 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, the NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
So let me just state this for the record. Kofi Kingston last week was put through a table. What did you chant? One more time. Put through another table. What did you chant? One more time. One more time. Triple H, not tonight, not any night. One more time.
But how many times do we have to reiterate to you that we are not going anywhere? A whole new season, a whole new North American Wrestling Connection. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Nikki Heyman. And I have a few of my usual suspects sitting about the table. First, all the way out on the West Coast, Ethan Muslin. Thank you for coming.
Ah, yeah, they say they wouldn't last. And I say they're probably right.
And all the way on the other side of the planet, Shane Beeman.
Oh, hello all. It's great to be here on season 7.
And somebody who's been here for a larger chunk of the nonsense, Statboy Josh Henniger.
Wait, I'm here. Is this pay-per-view night?
No, because you told me you were working that night.
No!
So, your homework is to put together the spreadsheet and send it to VRM so we don't lose everything. The electrons like we did last year.
Please, do not remind me of that.
So, now that I've honked you off a little bit here, I want to start with a great big pile of this week, and Jim will be so proud to know that I'm going to talk a lot of, is this offensive? We've had a few things that have gotten the internet panties in a wad. And it's kind of fun to watch the number threes flip. I'll start with the one that's more of a judgment call. Shane, do you feel that Triple H is building and burying Curtis Axel at the same time with this goofy concussion angle?
I honestly don't know. I feel as though Curtis Axel has been getting a pretty big push as of late, and he can get, I suppose, go through the angle that he's helped Triple H get his concussion along. So I don't know. I guess you can see it as a push, but all the Triple H hater marks out there are going to be saying, no, Triple H is doing what the evil doc does best, burying young talent.
Statboy, similar question, especially since Stephanie McMahon made a rare television appearance and actually made the comment, and I quote, Curtis Axel is beneath you, Hunter. Or shall I say, Paul?
Oh, chihuahua. That was the one thing I was going to bring up. Because Stephanie did no favors at all with that comment. At all. Because, to be honest, You don't say, again, especially with somebody you're trying to build as a new star, that they're beneath you. If you do, you're more or less saying, yeah, we don't have enough trust behind them, even though we're trying to repackage them. Yeah.
And so all of the IWC said, did you hear that? Did you hear that? That's the evil boss.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
But
to be fair, though, he kind of buried him like the moment he first debuted.
How so?
Well, when Hunter came out and Kurt was trying to talk to him, he basically said, no, the grown-ups are having a discussion, Curtis.
That I actually did not mind, because this is supposed to be a new fresh face. Granted, I know he's been there for 3-4 years.
The Genesis of McGillicuddy.
We're trying to forget that. We're trying very hard to forget that. So do me the favor, Stat Boy.
No.
Never speak of this again.
Does Tomko give you beats?
Well, duh.
Okay. So, Ethan, now that, you know, with Hunter bound and determined despite his injury to face Curtis Axel next week, is this even helping him? I mean, I think Jericho did a better job on SmackDown.
Yeah, Jericho did do a better job. Granted, it was off the distraction from the cult of personality, but Jericho did a better job with it. But I'm one to think they're probably not going to have a match next week on Raw. They are building to a bigger thing, probably moving towards the Summer Slamming.
So you don't think this is a short term, you know, push just to get into Payback and then move Curtis Axel to somebody else?
The way they're kind of moving along with it, they're really playing up the Hunter injury angle a lot. And you don't do a thing on an injury angle where all of a sudden, oh, next week I'm all better, I'll kick your ass. You really need to play it out, milk it for what it's worth. Then when you have that match, it's all the more better.
Okay. So, quick around the table, starting with you, Shane. I've asked this on previous shows, but the fact that Hunter is doing this kind of injury angle, is it offensive? Especially given Ziggler's situation.
I will admit it is bad timing considering what's happened with Ziggler, but then you do have, like, people have, like, that just comes back to the whole thing of fans are asking for more edgier TV, and then you get this concussion angle, and then friggin' people are getting antsed up about it because Dolph Ziggler's injured. It's like, make up your mind, people!
Statboy, same inquiry.
I don't know. I don't have much of anything on this.
Ethan?
Yeah, I don't think I could add much to it. It's pretty much, you know, the internet people just say one thing and then they do another. No surprise.
Oh, so, right. It's just... actually, I just remembered what I was going to say. This was a little bit in bad taste, but not really, because they were trying to more or less play on off of the NFL stuff. Ziggler getting concussed was more or less a, whoops, that might look bad later on.
Well, and we've got this was also timed with the donation to Sports Legacy, and I mentioned on a previous show that I really think that's more what they're trying to do to build up. You know, you've got a point too, Step, where they're talking about the NFL concussion situation and the fact that the Fed is, you know, trying to minimize concussions in training as well as in the ring. Mm-hmm. And Ziggler getting his block knocked off by Swagger, who got his karmic retribution recently.
Yep.
Now that Ziggler's cleared to wrestle for next week, yes, Okay. Next offense. And I personally should be offended. However, this is Vince McMahon we're talking about. When Mr. McMahon and my dear Uncle Paul were having a discussion regarding Curtis Axel, Vince made an offhand comment that ended in, "Do you understand, or do I have to explain it in Yiddish?" Would you believe a few people got their panties in a wad over this? I should, but it's Vince. He's going to say stupid crap like that anyway.
Yeah, he will, and I mean, let's be honest, I mean, Uncle Paul is a bit of de jour.
And to that, he even makes fun of it himself. I mean, Stapboy, creative rabbi, anybody?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. You took the words out of me, Nikki.
Sorry. I won't put them back either. Shane, this is real. This one's a big much ado about nothing.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you've had bigger slip-ups over time. Like, I mean, come on, Booker T, anyone? Just saying.
Chucky Ducky's coming for you.
Yeah, not quite that one. She's out. Anyway. So, a bunch of people are thinking, oh, you know, Vince is an old bigot. Well, Vince is a 60-something-year-old man who grew up in a world where you could say that and people would laugh. And nowadays, you can't even, you know, you can't use anything like that. You know, my Uncle Paul would never be able to get away with his Christian joke today that he told over a decade ago at the table.
Mm-hmm.
Is Christian the best name they could have come up for him? They had 9 months to figure out a good name for him. My parents didn't call me Jew.
Yike.
I'm just saying. You know, I want to, I'm sure a few people are offended. You know, jokingly, I am. But knowing how much dear Uncle Paul likes to have fun with it, I'm not offended. So now for the big one. But this one, okay, first of all, I realize it's offensive that I talk about TNA. Sorry. But we're going to try this. Dixie Carter has a big announcement of a huge free agent signing. Ethan, who do you think it is?
Oh, knowing the history of free agent acquisitions from TNA, I don't want to hazard a guess.
I'll take a shot at it, I dare you.
Oh. A Quackenbush. I don't know.
Stat boy, big free agent signing. Who do you think it is?
Stupid sexy Jomo.
Wrong!
Shane, big free agent signing. Who do you think they got?
Oh, come on. It's got to be Goldberg.
Wrong! Wrong, 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 wrong!
Do you really think Dixie Carter's that smart? To take that kind of money and spend it on a wrestler?
Hmm.
Provided with what I've seen for next week's show, hell no.
Seth Petruzzelli?
Wrong!
That would have been better than what they got, I think.
Heck, they could have signed Tony Kazina and probably done better.
Wrong!
Or Davey Richards?
No, wait. Did she bring back Bubba the Love Sponge?
No. Bad kitty. Bad kitty.
That's funny.
Oh, Wait. I know. Hang on. Because this guy's been talking a lot of smack. It was Tito Ortiz, right?
That might have even been better.
Hmm.
Instead, we've got part-time MMA guy, part-time actor, doesn't know how to wrestle a lick, Rampage Jackson.
Oh, good God.
Why?
I think they're trying to play off of an old angle, and no pun intended to Kurt.
We'll get to him in a minute.
Yeah, they're trying to play off an old angle in which Kurt was involved, in which him and Chuck Liddell actually had issues, and I guess they're going... Instead, they couldn't get Chuck, so they had to go and get Rampage Jackson.
The other tie-in, Ethan, is the fact that Bellator might have thrown some money at Jackson.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Does Bellator need more plugging on TNA?
How else do you think they can... You know, they want to outdo WWE's app shill.
Yeah. Okay. WWE shills for their app about once every 10 minutes. I hear Bellator promos like once every 3.
You know why? Because TNA, even though they're pulling crap ratings, 0.8s and whatnot, are still, if I'm not mistaken, the highest rated shows on Spike. That's saying something, kids.
Yay, you're default good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that just means that you're the less smelly of the pile.
Right.
And while it has been proven that you can polish a turd, it's still a turd.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dixie. Never mind. Just keep on keeping on. Because at least you have some good news in the fact that you're going to put Kurt Angle into your Hall of Fame, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Shane, that's going to be an is this offensive question. He's the second guy to go into the TNA Hall of Fame, and in his case, in Sting's case, neither are true TNA products.
Hell yes, it's offensive. I'm sorry. I know many of you here don't watch TNA, but I used to watch TNA religiously before it became Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff hour. But I was offended. Like, when I first heard about the TNA Hall of Fame, I thought to myself, first person that has to go in, surely, is either Jeff Jarrett or Jeff Jarrett Sr. Come on.
Hell, I'd have taken AJ Styles at this point.
But no, I didn't get those. I got Sting. But that was fine because, hey, Sting's done brilliant work in TNA. He's made some great matches and everything else. I couldn't deny that. But then when you announce a second one, I'm like, okay, surely I'm going to get the two I'm looking for. No, I got Kurt Angle. Damn!
I do understand that, but the thing is, Kurt's been there now for nearly 7 years. That's about as long as he was in the WWE.
Still.
But still for only, like, half the existence of the entire company.
Yes, Bound for Glory 06 onwards.
Come on, man. I could put Hernandez in the TNA Hall of Fame. He's been there longer.
Gah.
No, Jeff, either of the Jarretts, AJ Styles, hell, James Storm deserves to go in. But, you know, Sting deserves to be in a Hall of Fame, but I think he needs to be in a real one. And Angle, while he's tried to do wonders for TNA,
mm-hmm.
he's still a WWE product.
Yes.
Joe Q casual fan will identify him with WWE before they will identify him with TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And he made his money in WWE before Dixie said, ooh, pretty wrestler. Mm-hmm. And you don't like Vince. Come over here. We'll give you money, maybe.
I did actually find Sting's recent interview very interesting due to the fact that he actually considered the fact that he got put into the TNA Hall of Fame an insult due to the fact that he thought that was Dixie Carter's way of putting him out to pasture. His words.
Well, I can see where he's coming from because a convention of being in the Hall of Fame means that you're retired.
Or almost.
We're getting there. I mean, you know, Ric Flair's in the WWE Hall of Fame twice. Mm-hmm. And every now and again, he still steps in the ring. Shawn Michaels is in the WWE Hall of Fame. He will not wrestle a match again. He will hold himself to that. But that never stops him from super kicking somebody. Mm-hmm. And speaking of super kicking somebody...
What are you looking at?
Are you going to stop, Hunter? Anyway...
Maybe so, when he gets into the Hall of Fame, but let's face facts. If he gets into the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Fame's getting burnt down.
By a bunch of angry internet fans, and I want to watch. Because I'm going to be standing there with my head in my hands going, you idiots. All of you are idiots. You are getting what you want. Hunter has barely been on TV. He is not in a main event storyline. He's actually, supposedly, helping a new talent. He's making a big deal over a real world issue. And the number threes are still hating on it. Triple H could be shown as a single frame on a 3-hour Raw. And the number threes would lose their minds, Shane.
Yeah, that's it. Really is sad. Like even when he did his little skit with DX, people were just like, "Dude, why are you guys back? We want to see." Like you heard the crowd ring saying, "We want Ziggler or same old shit." Yeah, it's like you fans are never happy.
Well, we've been through this. You know, we've had the internet go, Zack Ryder's a freaking man. They need to push Zack Ryder. They put the U.S. title belt on him. Within 2 weeks, the IWC is going, whatever. Punk gets the push of his life. Gets a year plus title reign, and people are still bitching about Triple H and Kevin Nash.
And I'm sorry, I know this is going to open some wounds for the IWC people, but then you've got like one of the hardest working men in John Cena, and they whine and complain that he's only got 5 moves. People, have you heard of Hulk Hogan? He had less, and you cheer him.
Exactly. And oh, by the way, Randy Orton even said in an interview he has about the same amount of moves. What so about I was Brett, right!
What about Bret Hart? He's got the same 5 freaking moves.
He's the one that's where 5 moves of Doom came from.
Yeah.
So...
I will say, though, in fairness, I know Cena can wrestle. I actually just saw an old match from him on SmackDown taking on Reverend Devon. He can wrestle.
He doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the problem. They see that Cena can do all this stuff, but they won't let him do it.
Although Orton made the comment in his interview, please, I keep telling Cena not to use his dropkick. Randy, that's probably the only move you do right. That and the kneeling backbreaker. So... I should stop ranting about that. I need to find something better to talk about. Give me a second. Where are all my notes? Ah, Yes, speaking of fan unfavorites, Ring of Honor gave Mr. Matt Hardy some YouTube time, or Matt decided to start up his YouTube channel again, and he did that music and placards bit, like the YouTube, like the old YouTube video. Where essentially it starts out as an anti-bullying PSA, where he's essentially whining and bitching and moaning and complaining that the fans hate him. And he also seems concerned that Kevin Steen doesn't like him. And then in this beautiful twist of the knife, Matt says, Kevin Steen just dreams he was me. I am globally recognized. People stop me for autographs and pictures every day. I'm engaged to a Playboy model, and I'm filthy, stinking rich. What are you, Kevin Steen? All this to a beautiful little remix of Live for the Moment. Statboy, have you seen this video?
Yes, I have.
And what did you think?
I thought it was actually pretty good. Maybe not, you know, get out of jail free card good, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
but
that's
still good nonetheless.
That's putting him on the right path, but no, I'm not opening the door just yet. Ethan, have you seen this video?
I have not. Then again, I don't really follow up much on Ring of Honor nowadays anyway.
I don't either, but it was brought to my attention, and I watched it through because I was getting a little irritated with some of the anti-bullying stuff at the beginning of it. I'm like, oh, you're just whining and bitching. Shane, have you seen this video?
Yeah, I saw it, and I have to admit it was very entertaining. I only had one problem with that, and it was that I agree Hardy's an icon, but to call himself a wrestling legend? No. Just no.
No, not yet, because he is still the Jannetty of the Hardys.
Although nowadays, he's not so much a Jannetty. Not compared to his brother, if you know what I mean.
Well, I actually heard that Mr. Jeffrey is on the IR.
Ooh. Huh.
I heard hip issues.
Yeah, you're right. I remember Bully Ray more or less saying that.
Okay, chat room's got a good point. Matt is more like a Christian than a Jannetty. Successful in his own right. Not a total failure. Now, if you told me, you know, 2 years ago, I would have told you not only, you know, just the fact that he is the only legendary thing he's done on my show is being the first to get pony kicked. And Jim leaves the room. But you're not forgiven just yet, Mr. Hardy. Because if you're going to flaunt all that money in my direction, at least send me some. Oh, sorry. I kind of got off topic there.
Do you really want me to make those comments, Nikki? I'm so wanting to.
Oh, please, help yourself.
So you can blow it much, much too quickly?
Statboy? Statboy. Statboy. Statboy.
What?
How can you be so insensitive?
How can't I be?
Okay. That out of the way. I mentioned earlier that Ziggler was cleared to wrestle and the world rejoices. And I am rejoicing that Swagger is off TV. I understand. Oh? Well, I have that he has a hand injury, and I am not going to make the joke. I will let anybody else at the table make that joke.
Oh, sorry, what? What Jack are we going with here?
Swagger's got injured his hand.
Oh, no more joints for Jack. Sorry.
Ethan, you want to crack at this?
I'll pass, thanks. I'll pass the dodging on the left hand side.
My answer is, I got nothing. My answer is karma. I am, you know, the fact that Swagger has not been thoroughly punished for his transgressions and nearly putting Ziggler out of the business, though I understand he had zero heat for the concussion, fine. But he needed something. He needed to be benched for a couple of weeks, and that's what this injury is going to do. So while he's gone, we're going to open the door a little bit. And somebody's going to strap a rocket to the back of Mr. Bryan.
Yes! 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 Yes!
I wish we had a hallelujah chorus right now.
Trust me. I'm with you. I'm enjoying the fact that he is out crazying Randy Orton. That he's mirror crazying Dean Ambrose. And Shane, when Kane is the voice of reason in the argument, you know you're doing something right.
Oh my God, yes. If Kane's the voice of reason, then hell has frozen over.
Ethan, did you see some of this epic argument either on Monday or on Friday with those two?
No, I am a little bit behind, but I've seen what they've been doing so far for Brian. Taking down the Shield single-handedly. I like where they're going with this.
So, I'm not trying to get anybody's hopes up, but let me whet some appetites. Daniel Bryan versus Dolph Ziggler at SummerSlam.
Daniel Bryan versus John Cena at SummerSlam?
I'll take that too.
I would pay money for either.
Have all my money. Have it all. Just have it all.
Now, pretty Bryan and Ziggler already have a very good series under their belt. I think it was Bragging Rights 2010 when they pretty much stole the show right off the get-go. They can go. They have good chemistry. It would be an awesome match. But if you want it to be a 5-star, unfortunately, it can't be for the world title. You gotta go for the big one.
No, we'll see. We will definitely see. I like the thought that this could happen. I like the fact that they're putting so much behind Bryan and that Bryan is going to take it for all it's worth. He's already having way too much fun. We're already having way too much fun watching him. Let's see. And thanks to that, and a few other things, Raw didn't have very good numbers this week, stat boy, but
yeah,
they still gained audience as the show went on.
Yes, and I'm very certain as to why. Because there was a certain NBA game on, I believe a game 7?
Yes.
Of a finals? Well, not the finals, but of a conference finals? That just turned into an absolute blowout.
Yes.
So people just said, you know what, screw this. We know where it's going. Let's go watch something else.
So
let's go to something that's just as entertaining and just as scripted.
Hello!
Thank you, Ethan. You stole my joke. I have decided that all other professional sports are also works. There's just too much money involved. Anyway. But something else that probably got everybody's attention is that we got to see some more Jericho and my dear Uncle Paul. Not only the contract signing, but that brilliant bit with Jericho and Curtis Axel that accomplished so much in one simple gesture, Shane.
Oh, indeed. Chris Jericho doing what I know I shouldn't feed the marks. Don't feed the marks. But I'm going to do it. Chris Jericho did what Triple H will never do, and he laid down for Curtis Axel.
And even then, Statboy, it's not necessarily Jericho leaving completely on his back. We pushed Axel. We pushed the Jericho Punk match. And both guys came out of this fairly strong. I have confused the stat boy.
That's because I was away for a moment.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Jericho and dear Uncle Paul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First, the brilliant contract signing on Monday.
Could have ended a little better.
Yeah. But also the fact that they gave an assist to Curtis Axel in the process pushing their own match.
Mm-hmm.
Giving a little bit to Axel and giving a little bit to Jericho. Everybody wins in this segment.
Yeah. You're right.
And I do not have any problems with this, including the fact that during the Axel match, I recall Jericho threatening my dear Uncle Paul.
And him trying,
well, just walking over and, you know, looking mean, and to which my dear Uncle Paul nervously left his seat and said, "I'm an advocate! I'm an advocate!" And to which I think JBL said, "You're a lot of things, but an advocate probably ain't one of them."
Who am I?
So, but yes, with just a dramatic point to the Titantron and a few bars of Cult of Personality, Jericho, okay, fine, Ethan, he laid down for Curtis Axel.
Wow.
But it was entertaining. I thought it was entertaining anyway, but then again, I could watch Jericho walk out onto a stage, take a microphone, fart into it, and walk away, and it'd still be better than some of the stuff TNA puts out.
Yeah. Oi, Gewalt. May I have your attention, please?
Okay.
I have just received an email from the anonymous NAWC general manager on my HTC One.
Better that than the Xbox One.
Oh, God, if there's an upcoming Pixel Nation, I'm gonna tear it to shreds.
So, allow me. The GM starts with Deep Blue and Atari in the same segment should tickle every Pixel Nation fan. Seamus referenced Atari as Damian Sandow claims he was going to beat the Deep Blue computer at chess. To be fair, the screenshot looked like a 386 chess game. So let's see. We need to talk about heroes. We need to talk about a little more about Ring of Honor. We're going to talk about one of the largest works in wrestling, period. And if nobody's offended yet, talk about Swamp Jesus. I mean, Bray Wyatt. Gentlemen, I have to compile all of this, so Let's go ahead and take a break. Restrooms are unlocked. Vending machines are plugged in. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
How many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news?
3, 4, 5 or more?
Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net,
your pro wrestling news source.
Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, and to find out how you can help, visit Facebook.com/Operation Restore Our Shore.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.
CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com, the newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network, online, on demand, and on the go.
And now, back to wrestling news and more silliness on the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on CLW83.com.
We're back on the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Ethan Muslin, Shane Beeman, and Statboy Josh Henniger. Now, Jason Block walked in and he wants to talk about the Heroes thing that the GM was blathering about in the email. So you know something about this.
Yes, I do. Not only is The Rock basically taking over pop culture right now, as noted by a recent Entertainment Weekly article that said he has had a movie in the top 10 for the last 15 weeks now, going on 16. Ooh. That's insane, right? Wow. First of all, that's nuts. And by the way, hey Rock, we don't need Rock Cena 3. Make your money. Fast and Furious made $500 million, fastest in history, by the way. fastest Universal movie to make $500 million worldwide ever.
So it's looking to hit $1 billion.
Yeah, exactly. So he has now taken over reality television. He, along with, if you remember back in February, where we were complaining about him missing some dates during the WrestleMania run.
Yes.
Remember that? Okay. This is what he was filming. He was filming the hero in a place in Panama. Nine contestants have to are competing to win over one, you know, up to $1 million in prizes. Rock is looking for, you know, the hero, which is somebody who is courageous, brave, and has morals in a very, you know, unique way.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But you know what, though? It's a very high production show, and it's on TNT. It got very good ratings. 1.5 million viewers picked it up in the watch it in the opening preview, because it was promoted heavily over the last few weeks. It is a reality competition where, you know, these nine contestants compete for money in team challenges, and what is known as a Heroes Challenge. And it goes from 6 to 3, and The Rock introduces little offers of temptation, like this woman who was afraid of heights went up this rooftop staircase and met Rock, and Rock said, "You know what? I'll give you $25,000 if you make all those people go out on the roof, so you don't, you know, you don't have to." So she said no, but like I said, Rock is very charismatic. He is doing a lot of, you know, Rockisms and things like that. And you know what? I think it's going to be a hit. I really do. It's going to be fun to watch.
Well, more power to it. You know I'm not a reality show fan, and you lost me at America Votes.
That's at the end, but yes. But there is a wrestling connection to this.
Oh.
There is a wrestling connection to this. Independent wrestler and WWE.
Right, there's...
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. One of the nine contestants is signed to WWE Developmental. His name is Sean Ricker.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he is coming up to that. I'm sorry, I don't know how much you guys know him. Ethan, you might know him because he wrestled on the West Coast a little bit.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he wrestled for NWA Hollywood for a little bit.
Oh, what was? Do you remember his character, perchance?
I'm about to find it. He
it was Sean Ricker.
Oh.
He was in NWA Hollywood, yeah. And
it does sound a little bit familiar.
As a matter of fact, the last guy who managed him, looking at it here, is a guy by the name of William Moody.
I is.
Yeah, he was the last guy. He was in, and he was recently signed, according to a recent article in Yardbarker, he was signed to Developmental. He is 30, 6'1", 225, and from Hagerstown, Maryland. And so there you go. And he was managed by Percy Pringle, and there you go. So that's that. So
okay.
There is a wrestling connection to it.
Yeah, and it wasn't The Rock.
No.
Oh, wait.
But he is not as jacked. He doesn't look as jacked as he does in Fast 6. Oh, my goodness.
That's because he hasn't been able. He can't work out when you have busted abs.
No. But yes, and he is filming Hercules right now. So I'm going to mute myself, and you go back to talking wrestling stuff. But it's very cool. Very cool show. It's on TNT. You could 8 o'clock on the East Coast. I don't know if you get it in Australia, Shane, but check it out if it's around there. But it's 8 o'clock Eastern Time, TNT. So
I've got YouTube. YouTube's my friend.
You got it. There you go.
And speaking of new talent, WWE has signed a talent out of the Missouri independent scene. I didn't run into this guy, but I do want to talk about him. He goes by Ryan Drago. And he's using a gimmick similar to Cesaro's, that he's a throwback wrestler. But he takes it up to 15. He's got an old-fashioned, handlebar-esque mustache. does not wear elbow pads. And released a promotional video that is deliberately shot in sepia tone. And looks like an old-fashioned newsreel.
God, yes.
Jim, your news bar would go off if you saw this video.
Oh, we're talking about the wrestling version of Snidely Whiplash.
Yeah.
I approve.
Well, I shouldn't say that. Well, he's not a villain per se. He is a gentleman wrestler. I've sent the video to you guys. When you get a few minutes, seriously, watch it all the way through. If you are not laughing within the first 3 minutes, you are a very, very sad individual. I hope he gets to keep the gimmick and the mustache just for the sake of, once he gets to the E, him and Cody Rhodes can feud.
Oh.
What would make this character so complete, if he comes out to the ring to vaudeville piano music?
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. I want his entire Titantron to be in straight black and white or sepia. He comes out to the vaudeville piano, or maybe to
comes out to like the Maple Leaf Rag.
Yeah.
Or that music they have in the background for Race Game on The Price is Right.
There you go. And when, you know, if he's not in his wrestling gear, he's wearing a sharp suit and a straw boater and has a cane.
No, he's got to have a bowler.
You sure?
No, please don't. Big Bully Busick, that didn't work for him, nor would it work for anyone else, really.
If he did, we'd probably be calling him the Pride of the Peaches.
Damn. Given Drago's build, I think a straw boater would be a better fit. He's not a big hulking, you know, circus strongman. Although that's implied in this video, it's worth it just for that. Just to watch him working the old-fashioned spherical barbells, the big rectangular weights that they have the gall to call kettlebells. it's worth it. It's a long video, but it is so worth it. I want this guy on my TV yesterday, and he practically is with that video. Oh, sorry. Pardon the pun. We were also making jokes. You know, we joke about technology on this show a lot. And I got a little fit of the giggles with Sandow's latest intellectual challenge. Statboy, what in the world was that? That was not Deep Blue. That looked like 386 chess.
I have the slightest of ideas as to what you are talking about, because I was at work.
Oh, I forget. Damian Sandow said he was going to come up with a new intellectual challenge, so he brought out Deep Blue, the computer that supposedly could beat humans at chess. Deep Blue, voiced by GLaDOS, did not try to argue with Sandow, although he did demand silence from it, and claimed that he could beat Deep Blue at chess. So Sheamus, knowing that 10,000 screaming wrestling fans are not going to sit still for that shit, came down and said he would beat the computer in one move.
Uh-oh.
I think you already you know how this ends.
Unfortunately, poor computer.
Yes, and as a computer tech yourself, I know this would make you very sad.
It'd make me cringe, all right.
In the words of VRM, cool story, Brogue. Do not vent on me, Stat Boy. That was VRM's joke.
No, I'm just sad for the computer.
I know. But apparently, this is what puts an intellectual savior of the masses over the edge.
Oh?
Sandow flipped his shit and attacked Sheamus.
Yes?
So, I believe this will be turned into a match for payback.
Well, yeah.
Yes, it'll be Damian Sandow versus Sheamus in full contact chess.
I'd still watch.
That or they get like, you know, the NXT roster and they actually have physical, you know, they have like human chess and they tell someone to move somewhere.
That, I know how long that would last, but it would be fun to watch.
It's still better than the King of the Road match.
And the Minor 49er match, yeah. So, that's been set up. We talked about Daniel Bryan's push. Can I talk a little bit about Fandango's push? Ethan, he snuck into the Intercontinental title feud.
What?
For payback, for the Intercontinental title, Wade Barrett versus Dummies versus Fandango in a semantics match. Oh, wait.
Shenanigans.
Grab your brooms.
I'm amused. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Anyway, Ethan, would you spend money on that match?
I don't know. Like you said, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. I would have rather just continued the Miz Barrett feud on its own. I mean, for the most part, Fandango's been acting like the Don Flamenco of the WWE. He's been doing a lot of showboating, not a lot of wrestling.
Recall how many You Can't Wrestle chants he was getting before the Fandangoing phenomenon took off.
Oh, countless. It was almost every time he was coming out.
So, you know, you may have a point there. Shane, would you pay money for this match?
Honestly, I would, because just in my opinion, I think you've got 3 talents here that have something to prove. Because we've all heard the whole thing about how Wade Barrett's a lackluster champion and the Intercontinental title doesn't mean jack anymore. Well, these 3 need to push and make their match obviously it's not going to be the match of the night, but they need to make it very close.
Stat Boy?
To be honest, it's kind of one of those things that are on the fence. 2 of the guys I'm okay with. The Miz, hell no.
See, that was pretty much my answer. I would like to see Barrett and Fandango face off, but that would be heel. So we have to throw Miz. Miz is a freaking tweener. He's not a face.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, you know, he's been toying with Fandango, so there's, you know, there's that. Nice little note in the chat. If Fandango wins, we should get him a multicolored leather strap to match his dancing outfit. I would enjoy that, actually. I think that'd be pretty funny. I don't know how you'd get it done, but... Oh, who am I kidding?
I know! It's gonna be so awesome!
Anyway. Probably not gonna happen, but... I can dream.
Come on, it's Vince's pet project. It's not gonna happen.
Let's see. What else did I want to... We joke about Cena, and you know, we have our ups and downs when it comes to him, but he's made his jokes back at us about his heel turn and the fact that he's still probably a little gamey on that bad tendon. He has cemented himself as a face forever, thanks to Kmart. Kmart twisted his arm into doing a clothing line for the under 10 crowd. So, Stat Boy, that heel turn ain't happening, period.
So, he's going to wind up retiring down the road, having never been heel in, what, 15, 20 years?
Something like that.
Alright, wake me up when that ends, please. Or am I going to be sleeping forever, Rip Van Winkle style?
Well, I think the answer is...
forever!
Anyway.
That's about right.
Ugh.
So, Ethan, we're not going to get an evil Cena anytime soon.
Oh, no, we are not. He makes too much money for the Fed. They can't take that risk.
And Shane, part of the problem is everybody still reacts to him, so he ain't going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere, and I'm sorry, I'm gonna say this, but it's like, for those of you that don't like seeing the Hulk Hogan on TNA, don't worry, you've got him on WWE as well. Just saying.
No, you're very right. I agree with that. I mean, yes, he's a hardworking guy. Yes, he does a lot of things for charity. But since he's been doing this for so long, you know, where's my cartoon? Where's my John Cena's rap and wrestling cartoon? If he isn't
coming next year, maybe-ish.
I'm not talking about the Flintstones one.
I'm talking about the Scooby-Doo one.
I thought only Miz was in that one.
Oh, meh. I'm not even sure. Oh, no, 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 no. Please, I'm seeing the chat right now. Brad Garrett has seen it. No, no. Not again. Not again. That was horrible when he did Rock and Wrestling.
Everybody loves.
I will take care of that problem in the chat room later. Let's see. Mick Foley has not been idle. He's got a Kickstarter up. Now, I need to take a better look at this project. It's called I Am Santa Claus with Mick Foley. So I am very curious. I apologize that I have not done my homework on this, but I want to take a quick look at it as I pull it up. We've documented an entire year in the lives of six real bearded professional Santa Clauses to find out what the rest of the year is like for them. So we launched a Kickstarter. It wasn't with the help of the So essentially they are donating to continue this show. Initial goal is 40K, stretch goal is 80K, and...
they're not doing so well. Just short of 6,000 as of recording now.
Yeah. So, come on, guys, it's Santa Claus. Oh, wait. Why would anybody give money to the guy who gives toys away to everybody every year? But then again, we discovered Santa's secret, Amazon. Crickets. Okay. I will not join his comedy tour. I can take a hint. Okay. Let's see. Sinclair is trying to expand its Ring of Honor market, not with the Matt Hardy video, promise. Sinclair is purchasing a group called Titan Television, which owns several TV stations, for the comfortable sum of $115 million.
Dang.
This would get them some affiliates in Fresno, Visalia, California. Ethan, I have no idea if that's even close to you.
Fresno and where?
This says Visalia, V-I-S-A-L.
Oh, Visalia.
Yeah, them.
That's in the central area. That's more like around Bakersfield, way deep in the San Joaquin Valley.
Okay. They're also going to be able to grab an affiliate in Omaha and Sioux City, along with a CBS affiliate and some CW affiliates. So this will bring their station count over 130, and that will continue to spread Ring of Honor. Unfortunately, Ethan, I really think it's about 4 years too late.
Yeah, they really needed to get a TV deal around a couple years after they got started, so probably like around 2005, 2006.
And as somebody who, you know, pretty much started watching irregularly in 06 and 07 and actually got to attend a couple of events, Statboy, this stuff would have been brilliant on TV. And I think some of the guys that were involved would have been signed a whole lot sooner.
Oh, yes. You are absolutely correct. But, of course, Reign of Honor at that time was kind of going through a crisis, so to speak, if I remember right.
06?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what was going on at that point. Wasn't that about the point when Scrap Iron Adam Pearce started to get the book, or is that later?
I think that's a little later, because I'm talking about, you know, this was Claudio and Hero and Danielson and Joe and Seidel.
Yeah. I wonder. I don't know then.
You're probably thinking about 08-09.
Yeah, this is true.
Shane, I don't know how strong your Ring of Honor foo is, but while it's nice to see that they're expanding their TV markets, they don't really have a product right now.
My ROH foo, not very good. Definitely, like, I don't know. Like, ROH was back in the day, was compared to better than WWE and TNA combined, and now it's sort of like what WWE and TNA are doing right now. It's going downhill. It's like, uh-oh, pull up.
They're a little disorganized right now, but then again, WWE went in and cherry picked a bunch of the talent that they wanted, and are actually doing something with most of them. I know that Sami Zayn has only been running around NXT for the last couple of weeks. I think he is tied up in a feud with Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty, you know. That's, you know, free booking. You know, oh, these guys know each other. Let's put them in a feud. It's something that kind of goes off in my head every time I see Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan in the ring together. Or Daniel Bryan and Dean Ambrose. After all, Mr. Fanboards moderator, Statboy.
Yes.
One of the Dean Ambrose, Daniel Bryan gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't at that show, but I've worked with that referee.
Oh ho.
Because that was Iron Joe Kopacz.
Unfortunately, the name does not ring a bell for me.
A longtime HWA referee.
Oh, okay.
A rail of a guy, thinning red hair.
Kind of a
Hebner guy.
If I had a look at him, I'd probably be able to figure out who you're talking about because, well, for a few years anyway, I was able to see HWA here in the Dayton area. It was on UPN affiliate.
Well, there you go. Just, you know, like I said, he was a skinny rail of a guy. I got to work with him in 09 at Jimmy's.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure he was in and out of HWA. He had a tryout at IPW, but he really never got out of the independent scene. But he reffed a Brian and Ambrose match.
Oh, okay.
So, at least he has that.
Yeah.
And I'm not making fun of Joe. I love the man. He tried to teach me some things when it came to the business. And I wish he could have gone farther. I really do. Our final bit of business this week will be presented to us courtesy
WORK Work Radio.
It's a work.
And a pretty damn effective one. I first heard this from a local promoter here in Minnesota that Chikara was shutting down.
What?
Okay, let me go on. Kaiju Big Battle has been taking some of their dates.
Mm-hmm.
Some of their events, you know, apparently Heavy on Wrestling has been trying to get Chikara to come to Minnesota. Love to have him. But the original statement from Chikara's promotional end claimed something of the promotion liquidating its merchandise and it would be selling off whatever physical assets, production materials, whatever.
Yes.
Supposedly that the company had been struggling since the Joshimania events did not do well, and they've been running in the red since 2011. Go ahead, Stat Boy.
From what I've heard, that is a work as well. Those, from what I know, are lies and blasphemy.
Yes.
Ever, because they did all right with Joshimania. Because
mm-hmm.
that was something else entirely and not completely Chikara's doing, so Chikara didn't have to front the money. From what I know, this whole Chikara thing is just a Crisis on Infinite Earths storyline. Big one at that. Because the seven promotions of wrestling is, and Kaiju Big Battle, yeah, if you look at all their names and put them together, it spells Chikara with an exclamation point.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, this is going to get insane really quick.
And apparently it worked so well that it worked some promoters.
Uh-huh.
And they had to release another statement to PWI. Some people have been attempting to distract from what happened on Sunday's pay-per-view by circulating rumors about an affair, a bitter divorce, or dispute over the ownership of Chikara. All of these rumors are absolutely false. Allow me.
Bullshit.
Yeah, how do I put this? For the last few months, things were starting to look a bit weirder than usual.
Yeah, that's saying something, Chikara.
Yeah, it all started when the very first time Archibald Peck got nuked with a back fist to the future. Sent him hurtling back into the past and started all the craziness you see today. Essentially, Eddie Kingston, it's all your fault. All of it. In story, anyway. Because it ultimately came up that, well, within the last few events, that there were two Archibald Pecks. The real Archibald Peck, which is the one that never got backfisted. And then the current Archibald Peck slash Mixed Martial Archie slash the Handsome and Mysterious Stranger
slash Superboy Prime
is the fake, so to speak. Yes, he is essentially Superboy Prime. That is just in freaking sanity. Combine that with the other parts of the story with Titor Conglomerate, kind of based on a guy by the name of John Titor from the early part of this millennium, who said he was from the year 2030. Condor Security, who may or may not have killed some men, just because. And WMD, who currently owns the company via W. Conrad Vavasour. Yeah, this is so freakishly multi-layered that you could easily confuse it with a croissant. It's that layered.
I don't know whether I should facepalm, applaud, or weep with joy. This is just beautiful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just absolutely beautiful. I don't even follow Chikara, and I'm just blown away.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, for the last few years, I haven't followed Chikara nearly as well because I just haven't been too much into the storyline until now.
And, no, I do have a response to this layering, this beautiful hand-woven tapestry of work. There is hope for the wrestling business, but Chikara? That's like trying to stop the monster of the week with Godzuki. Thank you for getting that, Ethan. Damn, I'm old.
No, I was more thinking you have to try to beat him with Ultraman.
And yes, the whole... Do you mind if I even mention what happened at the end of the pay-per-view that got everybody pretty much in a wad?
Sure.
Because here's what happened at the end of the pay-per-view. Main event of the evening. Your grand championship on the line. Eddie Kingston versus Icarus. Okay. Icarus was playing the face, complete with covering his nasty, nasty back stain. Marty Jannetty style.
Okay.
Icarus had the Chikara special on Eddie. Eddie was about to tap out, and then Condor Security rushed the ring, escorted everyone out. Wink more or less said, enough, show's over, goodbye, start tearing down the set and shutting it down. Apparently, right before the broadcast went off the air on Smart Mark Video, Archibald Peck was found. He wasn't even booked for tonight. And they were wondering, what the hell was he doing there? And that's when it turned off. Apparently, right after, Condor Security pushed out the entirety of the audience out of the Trocadero Theater. And in the lobby, where usually you would see the gimmick table set up, there was nothing there. And they were all ushered out of the building. Apparently, somebody by the name of Ken Frisky, whoops, was so angry that he shoulder blocked the door at the Trocadero, breaking it in the process.
Whoops.
Yeah, he's going to be owing somebody a few $100. Well, apparently, anyway, once everyone was shafted out, people could see Bryce Remsburg, you know, the lead ref of Chikara, outside holding a box of stuff, distraught, crying. He was sad because Chikara was dead. I think it's dead in only name. It'll be back.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And then Wink, well, during that time when they were ushering out everyone, Wink was on the stage in sitting on a chair eating an apple.
Read the book. Oh, wait. I want to shake every last one of their hands now.
Yes, this is a massive, massive work. And this will more or less wind through wrestling as promotions for the rest of the year safely. I would guess then they will be back for Unlucky 13 in June of next year. Hopefully. Yeah, go ahead.
It's gonna depend on what exactly they have in mind. This is already so multi-layered. They can go in 100 different directions. Why can't we have this writing on the stuff that's televised all over the freaking planet?
Mm-hmm.
You're requiring people to actually use their brain.
I'm also requiring logic, which unfortunately, you know, just doesn't exist in the real world, much less wrestling. Shane, I know you're not a Chikara guy, but wow.
I know, I just had to go check out Chikara because I had no idea what the hell you guys were talking about. I'm like, huh?
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. Because it pretty much started around late 2010, early 2011.
Yeah, and I've just gone and checked it out. I'm like, damn, there's a lot of ants.
Yes,
the colony.
The colony, Gekido. And then the colony Extreme Force.
They've got a pest problem.
No, it's essentially, these are guys who get it and are essentially doing an American version of Puresu.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't know how Gekido first... Well, I do know how it came about, but I don't know where they fit in. But the Extreme Force is essentially one of Wink Bulbasaur's playthings. They've essentially named them all after 90s action figures.
Thus.
Yeah. Arctic Rescue Ann, and the other two, I forget the names offhand.
Well, you think that's goofy. Kaiju Big Battle's even more goofy.
Yeah, and Kaiju is part of the whole Crisis on Infinite Earth storyline.
So we've got, you know, essentially this is the Archie meets the Punisher insanity that's going on in the league.
Yeah.
And that's going to turn a lot of heads, and that's going to get them a hell of an audience, because everybody's going to ask what the fuck is going on, because this is bizarre.
Has the whole world gone crazy?
Yeah, the whole world probably has.
So I think that's going to be a good note to wrap up on, and a great thing to talk about in our new season. So before I call it a show, Shane, do you have anything to promote?
No, I don't.
I ask because I know you normally don't, but I have to ask. I have to be polite.
Yeah, I know, but I just don't have anything to promote.
That's fine. Ethan, do you have something to promote?
Sometime eventually in the next week or so, we will be coming up with another edition of Red State, Blue State here on CLW3 Network, talking about the latest in the happenings in the Beltway and elsewhere around the world, including, can you hear us now, government? Good.
I like that, actually, but they couldn't have been listening to everybody, otherwise this show wouldn't be happening right now. Statboy, do you have anything to promote?
Outside of at Walmart, please, please, please give to the Children's Miracle Network. They are a good, good charity. Trust me, they are. They saved my life twice. Yeah. Yeah.
And I will promote that Red State, Blue State, the BS Big Show, Pixel Nation, and many other fine broadcasts as part of the CLW83 network are available to you via iTunes, via Stitcher Radio, via Player.fm. It's fixed, I think. And, of course, CLW83.com. We're not that hard to find, and you really should drop by and tune in. So, for Statboy, for Shane Beeman, who has been thoroughly converted to Chikara, for Ethan Muslin, who is stuck with the rest of the crazies in California, My name is Nikki Haman.
Needs Chikara.
What's that?
Who needs Chikara when you got California?
That's true. You guys are all the fruits, the nuts, and the flakes. You don't dispute it. Thus.
Don't need to.
My name is Nikki Haman, letting you know that Curtis Axel is for real. Bray Wyatt is Swamp Jesus. And Season 7 is going to be even more doofus than the other six combined. You have been warned. Thank you.
JWC Media.